Because as soon as people see those dollar signs, you're suddenly going to be more powerful than you ever imagined. Until the money runs out, the party ends, and they all move on to the next guy, and you can't get anyone to return your texts. When everything you do is about money, if that's the end result you crave, what happens when it ends? Because it's going to end, whether you want to admit it or not. Someone else is going to make more, do more, and be more because you did nothing but sit back and say, "Look at me! I'm rich!" Anyone can start something. Few can finish. Priorities change if you don't constantly protect and defend them. You stop caring about keeping up with the competition, unless you mean the competition to have more stuff than the next guy. And instead of being addicted to building your career and your legacy, you become addicted to building bigger houses and more garages and adding more names to the party list. And pretty soon, you're just part of a long list of nobodies with declining talent who bumbled themselves out of a job. Part of the commitment to hard work is knowing what you have to give up to do the work, learning to control whatever pulls you away from your mission. You start having a little success, people notice you, it feels good, and maybe you start feeling a little satisfied and privileged. Trust me, privilege is a poison unless you know how to manage it. Anywhere you go, no matter what you do, there are going to be distractions. What are you willing to give up? Every year by Labor Day, Michael would shut down everything outside of basketball and just train. 3 workouts a day. Workout, golf break, workout, lunch, golf break, workout, dinner, bed. Every day. No commercial shoots, no promotional tours, no events. Just work, because he knew better than anyone else that all the outside stuff was the result of hard work on the inside, not the other way around. Shoe deals and commercials don't make you an icon. Being unstoppable makes you an icon. And being unstoppable only comes with hard work. Take care of business. When your career is over, if you want to weigh 400 pounds and lie in bed eating potato chips all day, I don't care. But for now, your body is your tool. That's what's allowing you to do your job and get a contract and pay all those bills. I'm going to show up ready to work every day, and I expect the same of you. So tell me the night before if you're going out, if you're not going to be worth anything the next day, so I know how to make my adjustments. I need to know if there's something wrong with your game, or if you got overserved and can't see straight. Maybe we'll go a little easy on this day, but we'll make it up here and there. The more you communicate with me, the better results I can get for you. But just the truth, and keep it simple. I feel like garbage today. Fine, heard you. I don't want the explanation. If I need more, I will ask you. If I think you're seriously fucking up, I will tell you. Otherwise, show me you care about your career, and I'll care as well. Be professional. That's the one thing I admired so much about Michael when he was going through the grief of his father's death. He came back and did what he had to do at an even higher level. Dwayne, going through an ugly divorce and an uglier custody battle, still showed up every day like the professional he is. Cleaner law. When you're going through a world of pain, you never hide. You show up to work ready to go. You face adversity and your critics and those who judge you. You step into the zone and perform at that top level when everyone is expecting you to falter. That's being a professional. Neglecting your body and your skill, not professional. Every year I'll talk to a frustrated GM or agent about some young player who's trashing his entire future because he can't get this right. Instead of investing time and resources refining his skills and improving his conditioning so he can make it in the league, He's telling everyone it's too expensive and exhausting to train all summer, and he needs the off-season to relax. He's driving a $150,000 car, wearing a 10-pound diamond watch and a gold chain around his neck like a boa constrictor, and he won't spend 10 grand to guarantee he continues to make 10 million? Sorry, there's no off-season when you're serious about being a winner. But hey, you can enjoy that off-season permanently when you're cut by the team. Do the work. There is no privilege greater than the pressure to excel, and no greater reward than earning the respect and fear of others who can only stand in awe of your results. When you're a cleaner, you'd rather be feared than liked. A cooler keeps his opinions to himself. A closer will say what he thinks, but only behind your back. But a cleaner will tell you straight to your face what he thinks, whether you like it or not. I'm always intrigued by the interaction between rival players, particularly when jealousy and competitive bitterness show themselves on the floor. As someone who has watched hundreds of thousands of hours of basketball, I know I'm not imagining it when players get frozen out in an all-star game or in the Olympics, as other players conspire to keep the ball away from them, in open defiance of the game plan and the coach. We're not talking about cleaners here. A cleaner wants to beat you when you're at your best, not when you're standing there without the ball. A freeze-out is the kind of petty bullshit you typically see from younger players who start feeling a little proud of themselves and decide to show the chief that the tribe is taking over. In a way, it's sort of amusing because, let's face it, if you're going to grab some spotlight and show off, it seems silly to do it in All-Star and Olympic games where the competition is questionable at best. If that's the best way you can get the oohs and ahs, do what you have to do. But heaven help you if you choose to freeze out a true cleaner. He sees what you're doing, and he'll never forget. Because when you're the best of the best, someone is always going to try to catch you. And you love watching them try. A cooler is liked. A closer is respected. But a cleaner is feared, and then respected for doing exactly what everyone feared he'd do. A cleaner moves silently under the surface. He makes no waves, so you never know what he's doing. You can't see him or hear him. You may not even know who he is. But when he's ready for you to find out, he does it with a tsunami that comes with no warning. You have no idea what's coming until you've been completely rocked. And by then it's too late for you to do anything but be swept away. He will make no effort to get you to like him. He doesn't care. But he'll do everything possible, and succeed, to make sure you fear him. How does it feel when you don't know what's about to happen? You get nervous, distracted. You're looking over your shoulder, wondering and worrying. If I want to get into another guy's head, I'll whisper in someone else's ear while he's watching. I may just be whispering about where we should go to dinner after the game. But now the first guy is wondering what we're saying instead of focusing on what he's supposed to be doing. Knocks him right out of the zone. Do you want to be the guy worrying, or the guy quietly making everyone else worry? This is what makes Kobe one of the greats of all time. He doesn't tell you what he's thinking or what he's going to do. He just does it. He makes others fear his next move and respect his ability to execute it. When Dwayne broke Kobe's nose and gave him the concussion during the All-Star game, and Kobe wanted to see him face to face before he'd go to the hospital, it wasn't about vengeance or retaliation or settling the score. It was about the law and order of the jungle, two animals instinctively facing off, the Lion King getting up on that rock so the rest of the jungle could see who was in charge. One direct, silent look that says, "I still own this, motherfucker." Fear and respect. Let them know you were there by your actions, not your words or emotions. You don't have to be loud to be the focus of attention. Think of The Godfather, world-class cleaner and the quietest guy in the room, surrounded by everyone else waiting to see what he would do or say. And he never had to say a word to get his message across. Or the parent who just gives the kids that look. No lecture, no speeches. One look. Maybe a word or two. And there's nothing more to say. Complete control. That's fear and respect in action. The loudest guy in the room is the one with the most to prove and no way to prove it. A cleaner has no need to announce his presence. You'll know he's there by the way he carries himself, always cool and confident. He's never the blowhard telling you how great he is. He's the quiet guy focused on results, because results are all that matter. A thief doesn't walk into a crowded store screaming, "I'm stealing!" He comes in quietly, subtly executing his plan before anyone notices, and he's long gone by the time you notice your watch is missing. When people start broadcasting what they're going to do and how great they're going to be when they do it, it's a sure sign they're still trying to convince themselves. If you already know, you don't have to talk about it. Talk never goes up in price, it's always free, and you usually get what you pay for. The Olympics are a classic example of this. I've been to the Olympics with several of the USA basketball teams since the 1992 Dream Team Games in Barcelona. And in any sport, you can see the difference between the athletes who are already thinking about fame and endorsements, and those who understand you have to win something first. The networks and Olympic sponsors are promoting them even before they arrive at the games. They're completely drenched in hype. Moms, dads, coaches, trainers, nutritionists, everyone wants a share of the spotlight. And there's always at least one athlete who can't resist. He talks about whom he's going to beat, how he's going to beat them, how he trained to get there, and then, splat. He can't measure up to the talk. His focus drains into the cameras, not into his performance. I'm sure most people respect swimmer Michael Phelps for all the medals. I respect him more for his ability to let those medals do the talking. While other swimmers were promising to knock him off the podium and take all the gold, he said nothing in response, never showed what he was thinking. When he got off to a slow start and people started to wonder if he was done, he pulled even farther back into himself, remembered why he was there, and crushed the rest of the events. That's how you intimidate your opponents without saying a single word. Michael Jordan had the best intimidation technique I've ever seen. You can't do this anymore, but before certain playoff games, he'd walk into the opponent's locker room on the pretense he had a pal on the other side and he had to say hello. Now, if you really knew him, you knew that was completely ridiculous because Michael didn't care about saying hello to anyone, especially before a game. But try telling that to the guys in the other locker room, getting ready to play. The whole team would be sitting there, thinking about facing the world champion Chicago Bulls, and in walks Michael Jordan. I don't care how long any of them had been in the game. When Michael walked in, you'd notice. He'd open that door, and the whole place would suddenly go completely silent. Everyone and everything just stopped. You could see every pair of eyes following him, watching, wondering, waiting, to see what he was going to do. He'd only stay a minute, just long enough for a brief handshake with whomever he knew or pretended to know, a quick nod around the room, and he'd leave as quick as he'd arrived. The Black Cat, we called him, there and gone before you knew what had happened. He wouldn't give it another thought. But for the stunned players sitting in that locker room, they could think of nothing else. Mission accomplished. He'd gone into their space and lodged himself in their heads for the entire game. Now, they're no longer thinking about what they have to do. They're thinking about him. Instead of clearing their minds and getting to that cool, focused performance zone, Their minds are heated up over number 23. He's got the entire other team talking to each other about how many points the great Michael Jordan will score that night, how many he'd scored the night before, the suit he was wearing, the automobile he drove. They were no longer his opponents. They were just a bunch of fans in awe. A player might score 20 points the night before facing the Bulls, then 2 points when he got to Chicago, and then 20 again in the next game against someone else. That wasn't strictly about the Bulls' defense. A guy's skill doesn't deteriorate for one game. What changed? Only his frame of mind. He was thinking about playing against Michael Jordan. Wherever Michael went, there was that undeniable element of fear and respect. Everyone felt it. Every game, he'd do something unforgettable, and no one would know what it was going to be. Even he didn't always know what it was going to be, but he'd make you wait and wonder. He always gave the other team and the crowd a wow moment, sometimes an entire wow game. In the later years of his career, when he wasn't going to dunk every night, he'd still sneak one in every now and then, just to let everyone know he could still do it. Not because he had to, but because he wanted to remind the rest of the league, "You're next." Even when he went to the Wizards and everyone said he was done, he'd still find a way to stab you in the heart. He was saying, "Just because I don't, doesn't mean I can't." Cleaners always leave behind a taste of the fear factor to give their next victims something to think about, so everyone knows they're coming. That's the undeniable edge they give themselves. That was one of Tiger's greatest weapons, knowing the rest of the field was looking back to see what he was doing, waiting for him to make his move. Every tournament, every round, every hole were all about him. The only thing anyone, including the competition, wanted to know was, what did Tiger do? But when he was struck down by scandal and injury and his game deteriorated, the competition stopped worrying about him. He no longer commanded the fear and respect that had made him an unstoppable force. Everyone else's skills didn't just suddenly improve, but their mental focus did. Athletes spend so much time working on their physical excellence, they sometimes forget that respect isn't just about what you can do physically. You have to be able to perform intellectually and mentally as well. The way you conduct yourself in all areas of your life, your ability to show intelligence and class and self-control, those are the things that separate you from the rest of the pack. Mental edge is everything in my line of work. If I have an altercation with a player, I don't stand a chance of beating him physically. I'm under 6 feet and possibly twice his age. But the result is going to be so much worse for him because I'm going to deal with him mentally. I don't work out like these guys do. I don't have to. They don't need me to be on their level physically. They need me to exceed their level mentally. I hear from young trainers all the time. They tell me about all their athletic achievements and how many years they've been working out. Great. You're physically fit. Congratulations. So are the athletes you want to train, and they're probably a lot more fit than you. Can you make the transition to becoming mentally fit as well? Are you learning and studying your craft so you know everything out there? Or are you content to just show your biceps and hope that earns you respect in the gym? Few people cross that bridge successfully in any endeavor. They think talent is enough. It's not. MJ understood this better than anyone else. He knew if you were coming to see him play, you were expecting a performance, not just a basketball game. During those championship years, you'd walk up to the old Chicago Stadium or the new United Center, and you knew you were coming to an event. People dressed to be seen, arriving in limos after big, expensive dinners, and those dinners were early because no one wanted to miss a single minute of the show. Every seat was filled during warm-ups, and every time Michael touched the ball, 20,000 camera flashes went off. It was the toughest ticket in the history of Chicago sports, and every night was like the Oscars. People who had zero interest in sports or the Bulls or basketball paid hundreds of dollars to come to the Bulls games for one reason: to say they had seen Michael Jordan. How many athletes in any sport, anywhere, can you say that about today? And while his performance on the court would certainly have been enough to earn him the kind of respect others could only dream of, the real performance started early in the day and didn't end until he was back in the privacy of his home. He made sure the game tickets were organized so he knew where everyone was sitting. He knew what his sponsors needed from him and whom he was supposed to see before and after the game. He paid attention to every single detail, from the tie he chose that day to the way his watch bands matched his shoes. He didn't wear a watch, he wore a timepiece. He didn't drive a mere car, he drove an automobile, and he wouldn't get behind the wheel of any vehicle that hadn't just been washed. Even when it was raining, the car had to be perfectly clean. Why did he care? Because he knew those crowds around the stadium were packed with people who could never afford a ticket to see him. And this was their one chance, standing outside in the parking lot, to catch a glimpse. For most of his fans, that was as close as they were ever going to get. He was the only player allowed to pull his car directly inside the United Center, but he rarely did. He'd always stop first and get out of the car in plain view of the fans, so all those people could see him. And he maintained that cool composure long after the game, win or lose, until he was back behind closed doors, at home, or in his hotel room, where he was free to finally stop and relax. That's when the show ended. I tell my guys now, just once every few games, get out of the car. Let the fans take a few pictures, sign a couple of autographs, get back in the car. Takes less than 30 seconds, and those 20 fans who saw you will turn into 200, and then 2,000, and pretty soon everyone has a story about seeing you, and now you've touched a lot of lives. That's how you earn respect. Excellence in everything. Now you're not just another high-paid athlete. You're a class act. One year I was working with a player going to the finals, and I was waiting for him in the lobby of the team hotel so we could head to the arena. I'm watching all these players walk out to the bus, and each one looked sloppier than the next. I couldn't believe it. Is this the NBA Finals, or are we heading out to rob a liquor store? If Michael had been on that team, he would have pulled every guy off the bus and told them not to come back without a suit and tie. You don't need a $3,000 suit. Go to Walmart and buy three for $100, but come back looking like a man, not a kid who got kicked out of school. And then my guy comes down in the elevator, and he looks worse than anyone else. This is the star of the team, a so-called role model, and he's dressed as if he were going to wash the car. I hustle him into a corner away from the media and lay into him. This is the finals. This is what you've worked for. You're on the biggest stage where everyone is watching, fans, sponsors, media. This is the ultimate showcase to represent yourself. Everything you do here is a reflection on you. What the hell are you thinking? And he says, no one else is going to put on a suit. I need to fit in with the team. If I wear a suit, I'll stand out. You probably know this already, but that is not a cleaner talking. You need to fit in. Really. I thought the whole point was to stand out. You've done all this work to be exceptional, to rise as a superstar, to set the bar higher, and now you want to blend in with everyone else? When you're the guy at the top, you show others how to act. You don't drop down to their level. You command respect and make them measure up to your standards, not the other way around. You're not here to make friends. You're here because you're the best, and you're not afraid to show it. And if that means setting yourself apart from everyone else, good for you. It means you're doing something right. Kobe has always set himself apart, quite literally. He shoots alone before the game, never on the same basket as the other guys. And the other players stay away. That's his zone, and they know it. He might decide to go join them at the other basket, but that's his choice. They would never encroach on his space. That's respect. When he suffered the shin injury in 2012, he was forced to miss some games. Instead of sitting on the bench in sweats or warm-ups, as most injured players do, he wore these magnificent suits, carried a clipboard. If you didn't know better, you'd think he was the most elegant coach in the history of the NBA, after Chuck Daly. That's how you stand out and set an example. Now you're not just an injured athlete. You're a professional. I'm not telling you to work at alienating people, but don't be surprised if you do. Coolers are nice. They compensate for their competitive deficiencies by being likable. Cleaners don't have to do that. They set themselves apart from their colleagues and peers, distinguishing themselves by rising to a higher level. When you're completely focused on one thing, your craft, it's hard to pay attention to other people. You might sincerely care about how someone is doing, but you're not going to pick up the phone to find out, and if you do, it's usually because you have a motive for asking. You don't have time for chit-chat or lunch or anything that distracts you from your single-minded focus. You don't care about being liked. You care about getting what you want. Not a great way to make and keep friends, but the only way to be truly relentless. Kobe rarely goes out with teammates. He'd rather work out or watch game film. And he'd much rather have your respect than your friendship. Michael was the same. So was Bird. They relied on their small inner circles of trusted friends, not teammates, who didn't need to be entertained or impressed. People who understood their role in the circle and who shared their friends' vision of success. You can't get to the top without stepping on some people, but a cleaner knows where to step without leaving footprints, because you never know when you may need those people again. Being feared doesn't mean being a jerk. I want you to carry yourself so you can be respected, not exposed as an insecure jackass who big-times others so he can feel better about himself. You know that guy. He struts in with an inflated ego and the hot air of cockiness and leaves behind nothing but the stale air of defeat. That's not a cleaner. That's a pretender. He might be able to fool a few people for a little while, but when the results are being tallied, he has nowhere to hide. Cleaners don't make big bragging announcements about how they topped someone else. They let their results do the talking. Do you think teams are happy when a player calls me in the middle of the season because they've run out of ways to help him? No. Do I care? No. The end result speaks for itself. See the ring on his finger? I want to be noticed for the excellence of my work, that's all. When people rip me for being an asshole or motherfucker, and they do, to me it means I'm on a level they can't attain or comprehend. That's fear. When others have to fight you by flinging insults, you've already won. It means they have no idea how else to compete with you. Now you know they're intimidated, and you can use it against them. Every time. The only people not intimidated are others just like you. And then, it's game on. Let's see what you got. To me, it means nothing when people say they like you. Like is average. It leaves no impact, no heat, nothing memorable. It's like being nice. It's just okay. But it's a million miles from respect, admiration, trust, and an instinctive connection and understanding that you're on the same wavelength and share the same objective. The greatest compliment to me is, he's an asshole, but he's the best at what he does. Thank you. There is no higher praise for a cleaner.